started preparing for this sermon earlier this week, I was telling my wife Jamie that the gospel today involved another account of the work of John the Baptist. As a result of that conversation, Jamie recounted a trip that she had undertaken in her early 20s to the outback of New South Wales. She recalled how isolated it was, that towns or settlements or the nearest town was some 100 kilometres away, that the countryside, the landscape was unforgiving, hot, seemingly full of danger, be it from the heat or danger such as I would have as snakes, as I would think as snakes. The wilderness was so unforgiving. From there I had another thought. One of my great joys in life is aviation, particularly commercial planes. I have an app on my phone that essentially allows me to follow any airliner in the world at any time. I can trace its progress, I can observe the flight instrumentation, I can obtain a view from the flight deck, the same view that the pilot has seen. I have to confess I probably spend too much time watching it on my phone, but one of the flights that I routinely follow is the daily flight between Auckland and Dubai. If I watch the plane heading into land at Dubai, I'm fascinated by the landscape during the last few minutes of the flight. If the plane approaches from the east, you only see any built-up area of houses or buildings during the last 2 to 3 minutes of the flight. And before that, all you see is a brown landscape, desert, no vegetation, just seemingly miles and miles of brown, unforgiving landscape. In the discussion with Jamie, we both commented that the unforgiving landscape that she saw in New South Wales and the desert that I observed surrounding Dubai, also seemingly unforgiven, were not unlike the landscape that John the Baptist wandered through in the years of his ministry. If you wanted to hear John the Baptist preach, then often you had to travel into the wilderness, into the same unforgiving landscape that I've been referring to. The people, though, flocked in droves to hear John the Baptist preach. And once you made the journey, you were seemingly confronted with an often coarse man, from what we're told, very direct in his language. Just prior to the passage from Luke's Gospel that we heard a few minutes ago, he had called the crowds that came to him to be baptized a brood of vipers. You would think that calling people who have come to hear you preach and to be baptized a brood of vipers was perhaps not the most welcoming of starts. But we are told that the people did come in great numbers to hear him preach. Perhaps the truth of the situation was that his sermons were a breath of fresh air to those who were desperate for the truth, for some direction in their lives. It seems to me that John the Baptist's courage would not allow him to give into public opinion, to be politically correct, as it were, or to water down his message. And even though his message, his expression often, it seemed, hurt those who came to hear him, it was likely a blessing to hear his words, his truths, his perspectives. For some people, a gentle approach will awaken them to the fact that they may not be on the right spiritual path. They will quickly realize this and change course in their lives. For others, more effort is needed to steer them in the right direction. Perhaps that's why God sent John the Baptist to proclaim the good news to the people. God didn't send John to preach a soft message. He sent a loud, forthright, challenging person to ensure that the people heard the good news. Would seem the louder and more controversial the message, the more confronting the message, then the greater the attraction to those who followed him and who heard that message. I don't think John the Baptist would do well in our day and age. He was very much a man of his time, of that time. He had a goal to meet, and he set about it doing it in the only way that he knew. He didn't use innuendos to get his message across. He told it like it is. When the tax collectors came to be baptized and asked why they should, what they should do, he told them to collect more, no more than the prescribed amount. When the Roman soldier asked him for advice, they were clearly told not to extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and to be satisfied with their wages. The people were told to share coats with those who had none. John was straightforward with everyone. He told it like it is, and he preached throughout the land, often in that same unforgiving landscape that I spoke about at the outset. What was the core of his teaching? Some thought, as we have heard, he was the Messiah, but he told them that one more powerful than he was coming, a person for whom he was not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. It was a message of expectation, of announcing that there was one far greater than he to come. We celebrate today the third week of Advent. Advent is a season of waiting, of expectation. It's about preparing for the coming of the Messiah, preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's as if we are in the wilderness, waiting for He who is greater to come among us. It's about each one of us preparing for that. And that's the Advent message for us all. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.